I'm going to open up the message today with Psalms 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we've heard these scriptures over the years for decades. But there's two things that I want to share. We're going to go through verses 1 to 4. And then we're going to look at those, and then we're going to look at the last two verses in a different scenario. But I want to share that when David wrote this, when David said this, he was using the language that a shepherd would definitely understand. Okay? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." That's something that certainly a shepherd who watches over his sheep is very, very familiar with, right? Well, first off, I want to say that sheep are built in a way that if they fall over and they end up on their back, it is very, very, very hard for them to get to maneuver themselves back on their feet again. They end up thrashing around because they're on their back, their legs are thrashing around, and they're bleeding, and they're, you know, bleeding, you know, they're panicking, they're crying out. But did you know that after about a few hours on their back, that gas, the gas that's in their body, collects in their stomach? And when that happens, their stomach starts to harden. And when their stomach starts to harden, it stops the airflow to their lungs, and they end up suffocating. Now, what this is called is cast down position when this happens to a sheep. But when a shepherd restores a cast down sheep, he reassures it. That's the first thing he does. When he gets to that sheep, he reassures it. He massages its legs before he even turns the sheep over. He massages its legs, starting to circulate the blood in his legs again. And then he begins to turn the sheep over gently. And then he lifts him up and he holds him so that the sheep can start regaining its equilibrium again. So I want you to picture that scenario in your brain, that a shepherd has come along, he's picked up this sheep that's been laying on its back for maybe an hour. It's still alive, but again, it's thrashing. He doesn't just immediately flop it over and put it on its legs. Why? Because there's no circulation in his legs. He's gonna fall again. So what's he do? He starts circulating that blood through his legs. And then he gently picks him up and turns him over. And he holds him and reassures him. I want you to picture that scenario, because that's exactly what our Father does to us. When we are on our back thrashing around, crying out for help, maybe because we feel guilty, maybe we're dealing with shame, or maybe we're going through a time of grief, losing a loved one, or maybe we've got unforgiveness, that we have a grudge against someone. And maybe we don't realize that our spirit inside us is thrashing around, hollering and bleeding and crying for help. And yet our Father knows and is very aware that over a period of time, that sin will suffocate us. But the great thing is, just like that shepherd comes along for that sheep and gently turns him over, our Father comes along, our great loving shepherd comes along, and he renews us with his grace, and he lifts us up, and he holds us until we can gain our spiritual equilibrium. And we know that God is the only one that can do that. We know that God is the only one that can pick us back up on our feet and restore us. Restore our joy. Restore our peace. Restore our strength. Amen? So, we know that this word right here never changes. It's never changed. Since it's been written, it has never changed. But understand this, that every time we read this word, it changes us. It changes us from the inside out. And the reason I say that this morning is because all of us have said, oh, she's going to talk about Psalms 23. I hear that one usually at a funeral. Or I might hear that in a teaching. Or I read it when it comes time to read that chapter when I go through my daily reading. But again, when we open this word and we turn it to Psalms 23, today I want us to see this particular chapter in a whole different light than we have seen it before. So therefore, there are three questions I want to throw at you this morning. And they're going to be a challenge to each and every one of us. And the first question is this. Am I allowing God to lead me? Doesn't it say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Right there, you're making a decision by saying, I want the Lord to be my shepherd. That's the decision. Am I allowing God to lead me? We know that God is always in control of everything. But also, he's given us a will to decide whether we want him to lead us or not. Okay? And if we choose not to, then what are we doing? We are choosing our own desires, our own desires and our own needs over what God wants. But the great thing is, the opening of Psalms 23 beautifully shows us what we can gain by surrendering and allowing God to lead us in our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads us. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us into paths of righteousness. So, if we read that scripture, and we see it through new eyes, that if God is our shepherd, that means that we give him control of our lives, we then realize that we've gained something. What have we gained? Well, it says in Psalms 23:1, God meets our needs. In Psalm 23:2, it says God will give us peace. And then it says in Psalms 23:3, he will restore us. So when we do look at this scripture, these are God's promise to us when we make the decision to have him lead and guide us in our lives every single day. And then it says, he leads us down paths of righteousness and not destruction. These are promises to us. That's in Psalms 23:3 as well. Let's go to question number 3. Am I camping in the valley? In Psalms 23:4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff are comfort me. So it's saying that we're not to camp there, but we're to walk through the valley. Sometimes we get so bogged down by our situation, our circumstances that we're going through, that we get so caught up in it that we end up camping in the valley that we don't want to be in. And when we get to that point, we say, is this ever going to change? Or maybe we're saying, this is never going to change. It's been this way for decades. It's never going to change. When you say that, you're camping in the valley. What happens when we do that? It robs us of that joy that God wants us to have in that relationship that he wants with us. He wants us to have that joy. He wants us to have that peace. But when we camp in that valley and we just encompass ourselves around all those circumstances and situations, we get so blinded by all of that that we lose that hope. We lose that joy that God has for us, that he wants us to have. So it says here, during the valleys of our lives, we must remember that the last two lines of this verse, which are, for you are with me, saying, God, you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So when we're in that valley, Satan wants us to think that we're alone. That God has not walked in the... God is like, oh, well, I walk with you this far, but there's the valley. I'll meet you on the other side. No, God doesn't do that. He says, I'm walking with you. Because I want to make sure that you're not going to camp down there. I'm going to walk with you. My rod and my staff, they will comfort you. So ask yourself this morning, in some of your situations in the past, have you found yourself camping in the valley? We are to put one foot in front of the other, while God will provide a way where there seems to be no way. God will always make a way. So ask yourself the question, maybe right now, maybe today you feel like you are camping in that valley. Question number three. Have I lost sight of God's faithfulness? You see, in Psalms 23, 5 and 6, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I've probably shared this with some of you before. I don't know whether any of you know Shirley Lilly. She's passed away. She's on with the Lord. But I remember my husband would come up to her and he'd say, Shirley, did you know your name was in the Bible? And I mean, this woman probably could, you know, recite half of the Bible. I mean, she just knew all the Bible. She goes, it is not, George. And he goes, absolutely it is. Your name surely is in the Bible. And she goes, will you show me? And he'd go right to Proverbs. And he'd say, surely, right there it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And they would get a chuckle out of it. But I want you to picture in your eyes, mine eyes, that if you were to have a coffee, now, I like a big cup of coffee, decaf as it might be, but I like a big cup of coffee. But what if you had that cup and it was much bigger, and yet God says, let me pour a little bit of blessings in your cup. And you go, Lord, it's getting full, Lord, it's overflowing, Lord, it's on the saucer now, Lord, it's on the table now, Lord. That's what the Lord does. He continually, every single moment of every single day is pouring out his favor and his blessings upon us. The ultimate one of those promises is that one day that we're all going to be together with him for eternity. Now, I've talked about the three questions on those four verses. And I did bring up verse 5 and 6, but we're going to go a different direction with verse 5 and 6 this morning. We talked about verse 4 where you have to make sure that you're asking God to lead you and to guide you. And are you camping or are you walking through that valley? And know that God is faithful, that he is faithful. But then it says in Psalms 23:5, it says, he prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. These next two verses that I share with you this morning, I want them to encourage you. I want them to put a hope in you that you've never experienced before. So I want to share this morning. I'm going to say this scripture again. He prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means, that he's prepared a table before us? What's that mean? It means that God has met us where we're at. God came to us. We didn't go to him. He came to us in our valley. He came to meet us in our situation. He left his palace. Jesus left his palace, his heaven, and he came to us. He left his place And he joined us right where we were at, in our mess, in our muck, in our mire. He came to us. And guess what? He came to us in front of our enemies. When we were fighting with our enemies, he came to us. He didn't say, I'll leave you at your own discretion here. I'll let him have his way with you. No, he came to you. You see, it's not the palace, and it's not the place that's royal. It's the king who is royal. And he came to us. The king that is the one who makes it royal, and it's not that he did it for any other reason than to love you, to love us. So he came to us, he joined us, he prepared a meal for us, he set a table for us so that we could sit at the table. But not only did he come to us in our situation again, he prepared that meal. He prepared this meal for us, his word for us. But not only that, he set the table for us. Not only that, he invited us to sit with him. And while we sat at the table, you and I, as we sat at the table that he prepared for us, he was watching our enemy. He was guarding us so that as we sat and we received what was on the table for us, that nourishment, he was watching over us so that we could regain our strength. As we took and partook of this meal, we were regaining our strength. We were getting stronger in him. Now think about that. He came to where we were. He left his place. He came to where we were in our mess. He prepared the food for us. He served the food to us. He set the table for us. He watched the enemy so that we could regain our strength. But then it goes on. It goes on to say, he anointed my head with oil. Like a good shepherd, he's not only with us, watching over us, feeding us his word, filling us to overflowing. He heals our wounds with his anointing, with his anointing oil. He prepared the table and the food and guarded us so that we could eat and then turn around, and then he healed our hurts, our wounds. And guess what? The enemy, all it can do is sit there and watch as God pours out his favor and his blessings upon us. That's all the enemy can do, is sit there and watch God do what he does best. And what is that? Love us. Love us. But guess what? That's still not the end. He's still not done. Because it says, that cup, my cup overflows. So let's get it straight this morning. That he has come to us, he's set the table, he's prepared the food, he's nourished us, he's guarded us, and then he healed us. And then on top of all of that, when we got up from that table where he fed us, he overflowed us with his presence. We get to walk away from that table overflowing, filled to overflowing with his presence in us. That when we leave this place, we've right now received, we've been guarded, he's come into our midst this morning, he's fed us, he's served us, he's fed us, he's nourished us with his word, and then he's filled us to overflowing with his presence. And then when we leave here, we're so full of what God has for us that what are we supposed to do? We're to take that and we're to touch lives and make a difference. We're to make a difference. And a pretty sweet thing of knowing that the enemy has to watch that what they meant for bad, God's going to turn it to good. And that Jesus left his palace and took our place so that you and I would partake in the bread of life this morning. And I'm going to say it one more time. He came to us, he nourished us, and while we ate, he guarded us, he healed us, and now he's filled us with his presence. Now, remember earlier when I gave you the scenario about the sheep and how he was thrashing around on his back trying to turn himself over? Well, I want you to think about this scenario this morning before I close. The story is called Pursuing. Some years ago, a man walked about a block ahead of me, and I could clearly see that his arms were full of packages. But all of a sudden, he tripped, dropping everything. A couple of people helped him to his feet, assisting him in collecting what he had dropped. But they had missed one thing, his wallet. He said, and I noticed it, and I ran over to pick up the wallet, and I took off with it in hot pursuit towards the stranger who had dropped the wallet in the first place, hoping to return this most important item. I yelled, "Sir, sir," and finally got his attention. And just as I went to reach him, he had turned around, and I held out the wallet. I'll never forget the look of surprise and relief in his immense gratitude towards the fact that I had handed him one of his most valuable possessions, his wallet. In Psalms, when I talk about surely your goodness and your love follow me. Now, the word follow in Hebrew is basically the same word as we would say follow after. But again, that word surely is before that. Surely your goodness and your mercy shall follow me. Surely, when that word is put before follow, it gives it more of an aggressiveness, a pursuing, a chasing down. And that's what our God does. He pursues us. He chases after us. He does all of these things by coming to us, bringing us nourishment, giving us everything, every possible thing that we need to go out into all the world and to share our testimony, to share his word, to share his promises, to put a hope in those that don't have hope anymore. They want to stay in that valley. They've been camped there for decades maybe. They have lost that hope. They're in the dark. But we are in the light. We are their light. We might be the only Jesus that some will ever see. So surely, we as a child of God, we have to follow. Surely, goodness and mercy. We are the hands and feet of our Savior. Surely we can stop our world long enough to listen to what God has called us to do. But before we can do that, we have to get new eyes into this scripture, into this chapter, and begin to realize what God did for us so that when we get that in us, in our spirit, we can say, surely God did this for me. Surely I can do this for God. Surely. When God said to go ye into all the world, he is saying, take that goodness, take that love, take that patience, take that kindness, take that meekness, take the fruits of the Spirit, and go ye out these doors. And make a difference. But before that can happen, you have to begin to look at Psalms 23 in a whole different light. and realize that surely God, when he says surely, he's saying, I pursued you. I chased you down. I came with aggressiveness. I love what it says here. It says, merely, it says, God's goodness and love doesn't merely follow along after us at a casual pace. Nothing God does is casual. What God does is done with boldness and confidence. And that's what he's put in us when he gave us the Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us. He's given us a boldness and a confidence to step out and to do what he's called us to do. It says that it's not a casual. God's goodness and love is not casual. And it's not in no hurry. It's not like that. God's love is in a hurry. When it comes to his love and his goodness, he is in a hurry. Surely means we are being pursued, chased. It's with intention. He has an intention. He has a purpose for us. Much like pursuing the man who gave that man his wallet back. He pursued him. He ran after him, yelling, sir, sir. Because he wanted to return something that belonged to him. We belong to God. We are a child of the Most High God. He wants us to return to him. In closing, Psalms 23, we all know that it is a promise. And yes, during funerals, it is a comfort. But I wanted to comfort you in this respect this morning. That Psalms 23 is a promise. That fear is not my future. God is. That sickness is not my story. God is. And that heartbreak is not my home. God is. And that death is not the end for a child of the Most High God. That when we leave this earth, we're just beginning. We are just beginning. That while we're here on this earth, we are just receiving the appetizer to the biggest meal and the biggest celebration in eternity. But take and enjoy the appetizer while you're here and share that appetizer as God leads you and guides you to do so. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Yes, we are to get to know the person that we're going to minister to down the road so that they feel comfortable that when you do begin to share that gospel with them, that they're not going to run off on you. You'll want to get to know that person, care about that person, help that person, love that person, understand that person, so that when you get to that stage, you're going to feel comfortable sharing the gospel with them. And sometimes they'll just see it in you and say, you know what? I don't know what it is about you, but I like being around you. There's just something about you, and I want to be like you. I want to have that peace that you have. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. It's just by the way you walk your life out. In closing, I want you to understand that God does not want us to lose sight of his faithfulness. And that when we are going through these hard times, we are to make a list. We are to take time and to make a list of all the different times that God has blessed us. You probably need a tablet or two. But when you do this, and as you do it, even in your worst days, you will see God's blessings overflow in our lives. As we look at that list. And as we look at this list, you literally cannot dwell on those bad thoughts and the blessings of God at the same time. It's almost impossible. With that being said, let's close with prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you that your Son Jesus is our good and faithful shepherd. And we thank you, Father, for this time with you, that you bring us to a halt in the hustle and the bustle of our everyday lives, and that you cause us to take the time to rest in you. Father, may we listen to your voice and respond to your gracious leading. As we lie down in that green pasture that you have presented before us, that you provide for us as we spend time with you. And may we seek to honor you in everything that we do, everything that we say, and to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.